questions with extrinsic affirmative action.
Thank you. So I would like to thank organizer and Gordon for invitation to this nice place. I will talk about some string which we suggest for the as a QCD string. So this is alternative what have been discussed probably here and now in the literature about gauge theory and string duality. So there is some publication on this. The early publication is in 93. Then there is a review in 2000. And I will discuss mostly this last three papers which appear in 2002. In collaboration with Ruben Mandelian from Yerevan, and early publication are with Konstantin, who is here at the moment. So let me explain what is the problem. So in QCD, when we consider the deep inelastic scattering, we see that the hadrons are made of the point particles, partons, quarks, at short distances. And at large distances, we see the hadrons, which are bound states of the quarks. So we have perturbation theory or QCD asymptotic freedom well described this left hand side, but we are still missing the picture how to describe the spectrum or low energy physics in QCD. So the idea is which is exists for a long time, that QCD at lower energies should be represented as sort of string theory. Now, the question is that the string theory, which we have already 30 years, can it be the string theory we are looking for? So the problem is that if we literally take the string to apply to hadronic physics, there is many problems. First of all, the momentum here will be Q square is should be quantized. I mean, it takes discrete values. So we cannot consider deep inelastic, really. There is massless states. There is a graviton. And what is also important, that then you consider this type of scattering. Gauge theory amplitudes are hard. So you just hit with a photon point particles, as we see here. But if you hit with the photon, let's say the string, because there is many states, you always the amplitudes are soft, so they are exponentially small, but not they don't show power law. So this have been analyzed by Gross and Mende and many other people. That's what I say, the exponential behavior of the fixed angle scattering. Now there is an 88. There was attempt by Michael Green to introduce the instantons, which are now well known, but it was before the D brains appear. If you substitute here the D instanton contribution and you integrate over the moduli of the D instanton, he was succeeded to get some power behavior of the amplitudes, but still the theory is in 10 dimension. And we have this last development of field gauge, conformal field theory string dualities, where the idea is that somehow the string which we are looking in 4 dimension is actually string in 5 dimensions. And so there is attempt also to consider to break the conformal invariants with introducing this cutoff and so on. I will not go into the details. So I will say that the problem still remain to be solved and understood. How to represent QCD string or what it is. So the way how I would like to suggest to approach to this problem is to start from scratch. The idea is simple. We have the path integral, which is well defined, which describes the point-like particle, and you know that the amplitude is described by the sum over all paths with the action, which is actually the length of the path. So suppose that this particle have the internal structure, so, and it looks like a string which moves from, let's say, one point to another. Then we have the surface which swept by the string, and we would like to require the following. We want that the action which will be in this theory should be such that it also should measure the surface in terms of length. So the question is it possible to construct such an action which will measure the surface in terms of centimeters? And also we have to require that then this surface will shrink to the line. It will be the length. So we would like to have this connection between two theories. So initially, it's very easy to define this type of theory when it is discretized. So if we have discretization, then we have these links. And for point-like particles, of course, the action is just the length of these links. Now, if we have the surface, in given case, I just draw the two tetrahedrons. These are triangles, so it's a closed string which propagates from X to Y. It's propagate and then shrinks again to point. Now, the action, as you see here, is written. It's a length of the edge multiplied by the deficit angle. So how to compute this deficit angle? The deficit angle is the angle between the two neighboring triangles. So this is angle between this face and this face. So it is this angle between these two faces. And the length is this ij. So you take the length, you multiply by the deficit angle on that edge, which is equal to pi minus alpha. You can imagine that if this place is flat, which means that the angle alpha ij is equal to pi, then pi minus pi, it will give you zero, so there will be no contribution, which means that the contribution comes from the places where the surface is bending. This exponent is, you can just ignore. You can take this is equal as a 1, but generally speaking, you can take it this function. Now, just to explain in a funny way, this functional is that if you drink the beer, then you will say that I drink, let's say, 10 cubic centimeters of beer. And some other guy will say, you know, I drink 20 cubic square centimeters of beer, and probably he mean the surface of the bottle. And there is the third guy who will say, I drink 30 centimeters of beer, which means that he compute this functional for the bottle, and it will measure the somehow average size of the bottle. Okay, so all of them are equally well defined. Now let me explain you the same functional in continuum. So actually in three dimension, this functional is nothing else but the extrinsic curvature. it's, as you remember, it's in three dimension, it is 1 over r plus 1 over r to integrate it over the surface. And because the dimensionality here, you have centimeter square, is 1 over centimeters. Actually, this functional have dimension in centimeters, so you have the mass parameter behind. Now, let me show you that this functional indeed goes to the length of the to the length if the surface shrinks. Suppose that you have this surface which shrinks into the cylinder, which have the length L and the radius of R. Then, one of the principal radius here, R1, is equal to infinity. This one, which is in this direction, so it just disappears. Another one, 1 over R1, is just this R. So you have, from here, you have 1 over R. Now, the area can be computed as 2 pi R, this multiplied by the length. As you see, this R with this R will cancel, and you will get something like ML, which is length of this shrink. So if the surface shrinks to the line, then the functional is not degenerated. It's just give the length of the line. I would like to say that in a Nambu case, when you have the area, then the surface shrinks to the line, it will give you just 0, which means that all these spikes can appear with probability 1, because there is no action connected with the spikes. That's why the spikes can grow just for zero cost. And if you compute this functional, let's say for our hair, then you will see that you will get huge kilometers of the functional will be enormously big. So every spike on the surface of our head will cost you, which will be proportional to the length. Now, it's also new about bending. If you have, let's say, two pieces of the length of the line of tubes which have some angle between them, then you will have something like this R multiplied by P pi minus alpha. So it will, this bending will also will cost you some. Now, the thing is that how to write this functional in terms in D dimensions. So, in D dimensions, one can write in the following way. So, here is induced matrix on the surface. This is a tangent vector. This is a normal. And this is a first quadratic form. Now, there is also a second quadratic form, which I defined as KIAB. I is the number of normals. And here it is, somehow these derivatives can, you can put it also acting on n, so it is dAn dBx, so it's a second extrinsic curvature. It has also this type of representation. There is d minus 2 principal radius. And then you can combine the scalar, which will be... if you take the traces over A, over this index A, which will give you this type of expression, then you sum over I's, this will give you this type of expression, and then for, let's say, D equal 3, it will be just the expression you know already. And finally, the action can be written in this way or in this way, and it's a generalization to D dimension. Now, I would like to make some analogy. This is a little bit unusual if you see that we have the length multiplied by the deficit angle. So it looks like a little bit strange. I mean, you have length multiplied by the angle. It was also strange for me for a long time. Then I learned that, you know, if you take the, in Rege calculus, if you want to discretize the Einstein Hilbert action, which is integral r square root of g d4x. As you see, this functional measures the area of the four-dimensional manifold. If you take the four-dimensional manifold, as you see, this R has 1 over centimeter square, and this is the volume element, centimeter to the 4, which means that this action measures something in four-dimensional manifold, which is the area. So the question, what it is? So if you discretize this, it is equal to the area of the triangle multiplied by the corresponding deficit angle. So on every triangle, there is associated with that the spherical angle, and that's omega ij. So if this angle is equal to zero, it's killed the area. Otherwise, as you see, it has very close close form with the string which is suggested. So this is the length multiplied by the deficit angle. This deficit angle is very important. Is very important because you can imagine that if I would like to compute this function, let's say for this object, I have to take this length and multiply by the deficit angle here, then this length by deficit angle here, and so on. But suppose that somebody will draw here the line, and then you have to compute also this length. But if you compute this length, it will be multiplied by zero deficit angle. So this would mean if you draw artificial lines where there is no bending, they will not contribute. That's why it is very important to have this angular factor, which kills or irrelevant links which are not have been bending. Also, to have the idea even much more easier, I would like to consider this type of surface, which has A, B, C length. So you can see that this functional will be proportional to the A with its deficit angle here. So it's A with some factor of pi. Then it will be here, will be B. This line, this line, this line will contribute the B. And this one will be C. So you see that for this type of surface, the functional is equal just to the sum of A, B, C. Now, if you shrink B and C, it will be the line of the length C, let's say. So that's what simple things which I would like to explain. Now, the question is, what are the classical equations of this in this theory? Actually, the equation of motion is just the curvature equal to zero. Somehow, in three dimension, if Gauss curvature is equal to zero, Gauss curvature is equal to 1 over R1 multiplied by R2, so you get zero, which means that it is a surface which is built by motion of the straight line, the classical trajectory. So the system is integrable. Now, the important property, physical property of this string is that this string is tensionless. Let me explain why it is tensionless. Suppose that I will take the Wilson loop, which means that I will take quark and antiquark on a distance r, and they are moving in this direction over the period of time t. So if in the first approximation, where there is no fluctuation of these vertices, the surface just is the minimal surface. It is flat here, so all these edges will not contribute. The edges which will contribute is just this boundary. Therefore, the action is actually equal just to the perimeter of the Wilson loop. Instead of area, which you have in the Nambu case, where will be R multiplied by the T. Here it is just perimeter. Therefore, if you compute the potential between quark and antiquark, you will get that the potential is simply equal to the constant, which means that the classical string tension in this theory is equal to zero. So which means that the partons which are building this string are actually free. Therefore, you can suggest, this gives you idea that why this model can describe asymptotic freedom, which means that if you hit with the photon pieces of the string, they will not excite all the modes of the string at first approximation. So they will feel the pieces of the string as separate point-like objects.
But it isn't a confinement.
So there is no, at classical level, there is no confinement. But what I am going to show you in the next 10 or 15 minutes, that quantum corrections actually generate, as an infrared effect, will generate the area term, which means that we will generate confinement. In this sense, this theory will be very much similar to the QCD. So the QCD is very extremely complicated theory in a sense that it's combined these two properties, which are very difficult to combine. First of all, it's described free particles at short distances, and then it's confinement at large distances. These two things are very difficult to combine in string theory.
Now that you've got this new equation of motion, what can we say about our usual conformal invariance on the world sheet? Is gone or still there?
That's also another subject of my talk. It's called conformal invariance string with extrinsic curvature. So let me go. So first of all, I would like to say that this model have, at classical level, the string tension is equal to zero.
So that if the tension is zero, there's no propagating mode. There's no modes propagating in the world sheet. I'm trying to think of how I set a wave in that string that has no tension.
There are propagating modes, actually. So, yes, the answer is that I will explain you what. In three dimension, indeed, there should be no, because it's too flat. But if you go to the higher dimension, to 4, so which means 3 plus 1, then this motion of the stick or these surfaces become much more rich. So there is a transfer degrees of freedom which will show you the propagating modes. That will be the answer. But in three dimension, if it is 2 plus 1, there is no propagating modes. That's true, actually. That we will see. Now, first, let me show you why this theory is conformal invariant somehow. So, the action, as you remember, I write as a mass multiplied by some action. So this is extrinsic curvature and square root of that. Now, you can rederive this term. Actually, it's possible to derive as Laplace acting on x mu, and then sum over mu in square and square root. So where Laplace is this formula which you write, which you see here. Now, to have idea why, let's take now the conformal gauge, which means that we will take the metric in the diagonal form there, rho is a conformal factor. Now you can substitute it here. So as you see, these two terms, the rho factor will cancel. So here you will have one rho factor from square root. Because it's Laplace in square, you will have 1 over a rho in square. And then you have also this factor, which is square root of rho square. So then you see that it's rho independent. So in Polyakov actually have been considering the Nambu term plus the extrinsic curvature term many years ago in 84, 85. And his action actually, formally looking, was without this square root, which means that this is 1 over, the dimensionality is dimensionless quantity. So the coupling constant here was just dimensionless complete constant, let's say alpha, and it was asymptotically free. So therefore was a confinement of the normals and therefore there was a crazy surfaces still appearing in the theory. But what, and his motivation was that this K-square term should be added because it's scale invariant, but I don't know, for some reason, probably he did not realize that if you take the square root, the theory become even invariant under the local conformal transformations, despite the fact that the coupling constant here is dimensional.
What's your spectrum? Can you solve it in what's the spectrum? Classically, what's the solution?
Yes, I will show you this, all these things. So, first of all, this theory is very nonlinear and it higher derivatives. It has many higher derivatives. So, it's non-trivial theory to be solved. But we will try to do our best and I will show step by step. So, first the question which I would like to answer is the following. That, as I just explained, this theory is describing three partons. And it is tensionless. So the question is that if I introduce this Wilson loop I draw in the picture, suppose that now the surface is fluctuating. If I will take these fluctuations into account, can it be that it will generate the Nambu term as a quantum effect? If it will generate this type of term, then the coefficient here can be, I will call as induced string tension, which means that the confinement will appear in the theory. So, I will spend some time to show you that indeed the area term is appearing in the theory. So this is more detailed definition of the second fundamental form, which is defined in this way. We have d minus two normals. Now we have to introduce the Lagrange multiplier here, lambda ab, multiplied by the fact that this expression is actually the induced metric. Here you see the Polyakov action, and as you see here in the conformal gauge from the action, the rho dependence disappear as was explained you in previous transparency. And in this case, as you see in Polyakov's case, there's 1/rho remain here as a factor. That's the difference between these two models, plus this term which is also exist here. Now, because the theory is invariant under the reparametrization, you have to introduce the ghost, which you do in the same way as it you should do in the standard case. There is this two determinants, Fadeev-Popov determinants, and S is the action which I just draw for you. Now, what I want to consider is just the fluctuation around the classical solution. So we will take classical solution, and then we will consider the quadratic fluctuation around this classical solution. So I will describe the x bar, lambda bar, and rho bar as a classical solution, and then with x1, lambda 1, and rho 1, the quadratic fluctuation around the classical solution. If you substitute all this into the action, you will get, as usually, the classical action, which is written here, plus quadratic term and plus interaction. So you can see here this term is quadratic in x1. This is also quadratic. It's contained this non-diagonal term lambda 1 x1, and this is lambda 1 rho 1. And this term also is quadratic, but this one is already cubic, and then there is more other terms coming here. So what I will do is just to expand the fluctuation of the surface in terms of normals. This Ni is the normal, so Xi I describe the transverse fluctuations, and Phi A describe the longitudinal fluctuations in the direction of the tangent vector. Epsilon A mu is the tangent vector. So this Phi A and Xi I describe the transfer and longitudinal fluctuation of the surface. If you substitute, and then there is the property, that's what I explained by words, this is algebraically is here. So you have to substitute this expansion here.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Which is your theory? Your theory has the Lagrange multiplier term in it or without it?
I just introduce it. No, it does not have.
So your definition of theory is without the Lagrange multiplier?
Of course, yes. Just to make a perturbation, it is, for me, is a convenient to introduce the variable lambda, which will take care about the fact that the metric is induced, is described in terms of fixes, right? If in this functional integral you integrate over the lambda, then your metric GAB is equal to DAX mu DB X mu. That's what it says.
Yeah, I don't know. Classically they may be the same, but quantum, the two theory may not be the same theory.
They are the same because I can exactly integrate. There is no kinetic or any term for the lambda, right? See this expression? This expression have just lambda. So if you integrate over the lambda, you will get a delta function of this, which means that just the metric is equal to dA x mu dB x mu. Okay?
The equivalence may appear if you introduce the world shape metric or something like that.
Yeah, it's not clear from the, because you can fix the first term.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I just go faster then. I cannot go in all details. But you have to do, of course, you have to put these things and then fix the gauge and not in opposite way. So just a moment, where I am. Yes, here. So now you substitute this expansion here into the action. As you see, we get here the quadratic term in Xi. There is some factor here. And actually, and this is interaction term which describes this Xi I with the lambda, with a Lagrange multiplier. So what is important here that you see this term actually shows that the number of transfer degrees of freedom is not d minus 2 but d minus 3. So this is the answering to your question that in actually the model does not have degrees of freedom in d equal 3. If you take d equal 3, there will be no variables available in the theory. Now this is just picture which I explained to you. Now the same should be done with other terms, not only by Xi, but there appears the phi also term, these longitudinal modes, and are written here. Now you can make an integration. You will integrate over rho one to get, and over lambda 1 plus minus to get these delta functions, and then you can integrate over lambda plus minus, not plus plus, plus minus, and over the phi, and you will get this type of determinants. So longitudinal modes will produce these two determinants, delta plus and delta minus, in the power minus 1. And as you see, they will cancel with the Fadeev-Popov determinant. So you see that actually the Ghost determinant and longitudinal mode of the X, they will cancel each other, which means that on one loop level there is no anomalies in the theory, irrespective to the D. Now finally we end up with the theory which has this propagator which describes D minus 3 degrees of freedom, plus this vertex which describes the interaction of the Xi with the lambda, which have this form. So we have we have one loop diagram which looks like here, or we can have one loop effective action which is the sum of this type of diagrams where we have internal Xi loops. So let me compute now one loop diagram. So the propagator of the Xi is have this form, and you see the operator which the trace of which is equal to d minus 3. That's exactly what it says, that here we have only d minus 3 propagating degrees. Now the effective action is equal to the classical action which we have plus this one loop piece. So it's very easy to compute.
Yes. So if I do string theory, right? I solve the X mu and I have a solution and I quantize it.
Around that.
I get infinite number of modes in terms of field theory. Right? The spectrum, string spectrum is infinite number of degrees of freedom in terms of field theory. So in your case, naively, I would expect that you would have infinite number of degrees of freedom. All excitation.
Of course, this is a wall sheet. What I'm telling is just wall sheet computation. In space-time, it's absolutely different. This is a sigma model calculation.
Is the wall sheet spectrum discrete here, or is it continuous?
What you're asking again, the question is...
Discrete or continuous? And in the world
discrete spectrum of...
Wall sheet expectations, or continuous? So the mass spectrum of the
space-time. I promised to discuss the spectrum, but not at this moment.
Okay.
So I am doing Waldschmidt calculations. I did not talk about the spectrum of the theory at the moment, what it will be in space-time. So I just want to show that this action will generate the Waldschmidt term which will look like Nambu. So the one loop effective action, as you see here, is equal to this, and we will see that what it does, this diagram, is renormalize this the parameter M, which is equal to the mass renormalization is the bare M mass plus this d minus 3 time log of the cutoffs times the trace of the classical solution. Because the trace of the classical solution is equal to 0, which means that the renormalization, one loop renormalization, is just finite here. Now, the next what I want to do is to compute the effective action in terms of lambda. So I want to sum all one loop diagrams with many lambda legs here. So this can be done. It is a trace of logarithm of some operators, which is written here. And what I am actually going to prove, that we have the condensation of the Lagrange multiplier.
I'm sorry, I try to understand.
Yes, go ahead.
You do a dual sheet one loop, right? So usually when I do string theory, so double go to action, I do a Bush calculation, and because the theory have conformal invariants, I know the beta function should vanish so that conformal invariants maintain.
Yes.
So here you do the one root calculation. I mean, it seems to be that the beta function does not vanish.
It's vanish actually. It's beta. It's you have seen that. I say that it's that the renormalization was equal to zero. That's what I say. Here.
So you
here this term, but this is actually equal to zero. This is equal to zero. Therefore, there is no renormalization. Let me show you. Here it is. So if you take this action and if you variate it, the classical equations are written here. So this is a variation over the x, this is a variation over the lambda, and this is a variation over what? X, lambda, and rho. So as you see, one of the equations says that this lambda is traceless. So therefore,
the world symmetric is the last one, right?
This one is just say that it over the lambda. That's what that's one, and then these two guys. So therefore, I just escaped this. Therefore, here lambda is equal to zero. So there's no renormalization. Now I want to sum all the old one loop diagrams. So what I see is that, let me show that just a final result. Here it is. Oh, actually, now I am parameterizing. The lambda is actually, now here, the lambda is a trace of the Lagrange multiplier. So classically, it was zero. Now I want to compute in one loop. And then I see that as an infrared effect, I have the condensation of the Lagrange multiplier. So your response will be that, aha, now you get the breaking on conformal invariants. But it actually not. So the effective potential, which is written here, in terms of Lagrange multiplier, has this type of graph with some condensate of the lambda, which is written here. This is the dependence of lambda as a function of d. It started 0 at d equals 3, and then it goes to m square. Now, if I will substitute this vacuum expectation value of Lagrange multiplier into my action, I will see that immediately that it generates the area term, this one, with the string tension, which is written here, m squared times exponent, this term, which means that, and you can see that this is indeed the infrared effect. This is a Schwinger proper time. And it is this integral is actually diverging at infinity, at s goes to infinity. It's exactly an infrared case. So this summation produced this infrared effect, which produced the condensation of the Lagrange multiplier, and that produced the
it's theory, right? So how do you separate infrared from ultraviolet?
So this is a proper time, right? ds over s. So the integral is, it's like, you know, the effects here are, if you remember Coleman and Weinberg, it's very delicate. I mean, you cannot separate infrared and ultraviolet. You cannot, I mean, it's...
So the beta function vanishes for the ultraviolet. How do you pick up a piece from infrared?
So So you have to see this integral. So the infrared divergences are at infinity. The ultraviolet are at zero, right? In Schwinger proper time. Now, as you see, before renormalization, this integral is diverging at zero, so it shows that there is ultraviolet divergences, right? In every term of your loop expansion, but the total sum of all diagrams have this exponent minus s, which makes a natural cutoff then you sum of them, they become regularized at infinity. Now you have to subtract the contour terms. If you subtract the contour terms, then they will start to diverge at infinity, so they become infrared divergent. Now you have to make this Coleman-Weinberg trick to renormalize the theory at some non-trivial field, which make your whole integral written here. This integral is converging at the zero at infinity.
Yeah.
So
the problem is the Coleman-Weinberg scenario, there's a dimensional transmutation.
Yes, that's exactly what happens here.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
That dimensional transmutation introduces a mass scale to the problem and breaks the conformal symmetry.
That's very, very tiny point happens here. Now look to this action. Indeed, we have some sort of anomalies, but the theory as it happens here is a conformal invariant. I mean, this term, which you see here, is conformal invariant under the transformation which you are talking about, right? So this theory still is conformal invariant as it was at tree level. So therefore, the induced term is. I don't see here the critical dimension. There is no critical dimension at the moment here.
So the Polyakov term is not conformal invariant.
It is not.
Unless you add critical dimension in the usual string theory. I don't see how you can argue.
With k squared? You mean when it is k squared?
No, the last term that you showed is that.
This is an effective action.
This is an effective action. You should not quantize this term. So to make these computations much. To check this computation differently, we did also calculation in the physical gauge, which means that we consider the fluctuations only normal fluctuations to x, which is written here. So xi I here is just normal to the surface. So the computation is not so easy to explain, but what you have to do is to expand all your quantities which you have in the theory in terms of this xi variables up to second order. So in this gauge, there is no any Ghost or whatever. There is no Ghost, there is no Fadev-Popov determinant and so on. It just looks like A0 gauge, whatever. Now, this is the expansion of the metric. This is the expansion of the determinant. This is the extrinsic curvature written here. You have to compute the variation of the normal. Then you have to compute the variation of the extrinsic curvature, which is written here. then the variation of the trace of the extrinsic curvature, and finally, what you get is this term, which is linear in psi, multiplied by this block, and then the term which is quadratic, as you see, it's quadratic in psi. Now, the term which is linear in psi will give you the equation of motion. So this is exactly what I was saying, that the equation of motion contained the Riemann tensor. But actually, I was a little bit lying, because the equation is much more complicated than just r equal to zero. It's a little bit more complicated. It's written here. Now, we have here the term which defines the propagator of your theory. It's written here. And then these terms are interaction terms which you have to compute. Now, there is 5 one-loop diagrams. And as you see, the contribution are written here, all of them. Now, this term, because this is a projective operator, multiplied by k is just equal to zero, so this diagram is equal to zero. This term will give you d minus 3, number of transfer degrees of freedom. This term will give you minus 2 times k squared d minus 3, and these two terms actually cancel each other. As you see, the d disappear from the calculation, and then remain this term, which is also equal to 0 because of this property of the projective operator, remain only this term, and this term actually, after some simple evaluation, you will see that it's proportional to the to the curvature of the surface. Therefore, one loop diagrams, as you see in this physical gauge, is also finite and independent of d. Now, to make this calculation a little bit more clear, I will show you the same computation for the Polyakov function. As you see, there is a dimensionless coupling constant here. It's also the terms little bit different. But here, as you see, the contributions of diagrams, there is this 1/2 2d minus 2d, and therefore the resulting beta function is not zero in Polyakov case, and it is equal to minus d divided by 4 pi in Polyakov case. In our case, as I stressed to you, because of this funny square root, this 1/2 does not appear. And as you see, it's 2 times d minus 3 minus 2 times d minus 3, and it goes to 0. So, actually, this was the calculation which have been done in collaboration with Ruben, and the statement was that somehow in one loop the conformal symmetry remain if you sum this funny way generate the string tension, and the question was, this theory be treated more somehow in terms of conformal field theory or not? And the last two publication was exactly on that subject. So, remaining 7 minutes, maybe I will show you what happens here. So, what you want to do? You want to treat this theory really in terms of conformal field theory. So, we have this action. We have this definition. So, let me variate this action over the... First of all, let me compute the stress-energy tensor. For that, I have to variate this action over the metric. It's a long calculation, but you can get this expression, which is written here. So over A and B there is a symmetrization. This is a derivative over A of this type of aggregate, and this is a derivative of the X mu minus metric here, and then the same term here where summation is over C and D. So that in a normal in normal string theory will be like this expression. It will be DC X mu just the derivatives, and also the same here. It will be this expression in the normal string theory. So here it's a little bit more complicated, more nonlinear, and more higher derivatives. But if you see, if you take compute the trace of this, you will see that it is traceless. So the theory is indeed conformal invariant at classical level. Now, you want to compute also the equation of motion, and as you see, it's a Laplacian acting on this aggregate, which is Laplacian acting on x mu and then square root of the Laplace x in square. So we have two equations. One is actually the equation of constraints, and this is equation of motion. So the question is, can we solve it? So first of all, it is important to introduce this object p mu, which is m times Laplace x mu divided by square root. Obviously, this have the same structure as point-like particle. So p square is equal to m square. And then the equation of motion is looks like Laplace acting on p is equal to zero, and the energy moment tensor looks like this. As you see, the only difference is that here instead of x is this funny p operator. Now let's take the conformal gauge. In that gauge, Laplacian become just a d square, d tau square minus d sigma square. And as you see, it looks like very similar to the point-like particle. And this is the TAB. Now, statement is that, of course, this equation you can solve. It's if, suppose that there is no this term, then this is a b-harmonic function. This equation can be solved. Now, because of the square root, it's a little bit more complicated, but still can be solved exactly. Let's go to the Lightcon gauge and then compute non-zero components of the t plus plus and t minus minus. It is equal to d plus p mu, d plus x nu. In the normal string theory, here will be just x. And it is traceless as it should. And then equation of constraints, equation of conservation of energy momentum say that this t plus plus is just a function of zeta plus, and t minus minus is the function of zeta minus. Now, as you see, these invariants also very easily see here. In the light, in the conformal gauge, Laplacian is nothing else but d plus d minus. And because of this square and square root, somehow this is just d plus d minus, dz plus dz minus. So it's obviously invariant under these conformal transformations. Now, the solution of this equation is can be easily found, and it is the left and right moving modes plus this type of integral where pi are also arbitrary function right and left moving modes. Because simply d square of pi is equal to zero, pi have actually two components, left and right moving modes, plus you can imagine here that any harmonic function, if you substitute here, does not change anything here. So then you have another two left and right moving modes here. So as you see, we have actually in total four, two left movers and two right movers. So the number of degrees of freedom here doubles compared with the normal string theory. So if you substitute this solution into the constraint, you will get that T plus plus is equal to left mod of pi field and left mod of the X field, and T minus minus is the right part of the P mod and an X mod. So as it should be from the beginning, we see it from the equation of motion that this function should be a function of left separate light, right and left moving modes. Now we go to the quantization. The quantization is very complicated because somehow the theory is nonlinear and higher derivatives, but a miracle is that the conformal symmetry somehow helped to go through. So first of all, these global symmetries allow you to find out what is the momentum, which is actually derivative of this P phi, P field. And as you see, the momentum has actually P field. Only P field contributes into the momentum, but X field does not contribute. This X left and X right modes are not contributing here because there is a Laplacian. So then this Laplacian acts on this X left and right. It's just get rid of them, and only P field contributes into the momentum. Therefore, the Poisson the quantization looks like this. You have to write just the standard conjugate variables X and P, and then substitute the solution. You will get all non-trivial commutators of the between X and P fields. As you see, X and P field have non-trivial commutators between themselves, but X right left commute with each other, and P also field commute with each other. Now, to get the propagator, I'm just at the end. So this action can be written in terms of P field in this way. If you divide it and multiply very trivial things, I mean, if you write, you can easily see that this expression is just equal to this. And that's very nice because, as you see, you see that this higher derivative theory actually is based into the two fields which have the normal derivative term. So then you can extract from here the propagator for the left right movers and left movers, and then you can compute the central charge for the Virasoro algebra which you have between T plus plus.
What's the meaning of the mu inside the law?
It's an infrared cutoff. I mean, normally you're in two dimensional theory. So this, if you compute the central charge, it's written here. The only non-zero terms are between P and X, and PX. So there is only one term, one loop, only one loop diagram, which is written here. There is no propagation between X and P and P. So there is only this contribution. And if you compute it, it gives you this D divided by 1/4. The Ghost contribution is the same, nothing changed compared with the standard case. So therefore, the total central charge in the theory will be D divided by 4 minus 13 divided by 4. So therefore, the critical dimension in this theory is equal to 13. Now, I guess that I cannot, I don't have the time, therefore, I just will tell you that the last article which I have, it was a supersymmetrized this model, And the similar calculation will show that the critical dimension is equal to 6. So qualitatively, I can explain in this way. Because there is an effective doubling of bosonic degrees of freedom, instead of d equal 26, you get 2d equal to 26. That's why in the bosonic case, it gives a critical dimension twice less than it is in the standard bosonic case. In the supersymmetric case, it's somehow very close to the n equal 2 string, because it's you have somehow two bosons and one fermion. So this is n equal 1. So we have fermion and two bosons. What is unusual here, that the supersymmetry is realized between this fermion and the boson, and one of the bosons leaves not used. This is X field, which does not contribute into the momentum. As you see, one of the field, there is a P and X field, and there was no contribution of the X field into the momentum. So this P field supersymmetrizes with the psi, but this field X remains untouched. Therefore, instead of in normal case, you will get 3d equal to 13. This is coming from the Gost and super Gost. Contribution is 30, and from fermions, from bosons come 2d, and from bosons comes 1d, so it's 30. So the critical dimension is 10, as you see here. In our case, the number of bosonic degree doubles, so this is equal actually 2d plus d. So this comes from fermions, and this is from bosons. In our case, the bosons double, so it becomes 4d plus d. And the Gost is obviously the same, so we have 5d equal to 30, so we get critical dimension is equal to 6. That's qualitatively how it happens. So this string in supersymmetric extension of the model is living in six dimension. So it looks like interesting from the modern development in this string gauge theory dualities, the D6 NS5 brain looks like the string. Maybe it's connected, but I don't know too much about that. So thank you very much.
Does the bosonic version have a tachyon in the spectrum? The linear register victory still, or is it something else?
So, so this is a question about the spectrum. So I don't want to make statement about spectrum at the moment. The thing is, it's just there is some new things which I am just on. I'm studying these things.
You have a representation of the Virchow algebra.
Yes, I have. But it's very strange. It's not a usual representation. It's a little bit more complicated than the usual representation. And spectrum is also have some very peculiarities in there.
Okay. Is there any merit in constructing the model building into the critical dimension decrease? Is there any merit?
Any
other benefits?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but in your case, critical dimension is from decreased from the 10 to the
6. That's true.
Is there any merit in constructing the model building if the critical dimension is decreased in compared with the conventional 10 dimensional supergrid concept?
I don't know. I did not. Just a so fresh result, but there's. So maybe you will ask me how happens that in the previous model, which I discussed the first part of my talk, there was no any D appear in the calculation. So it looks like it was insensitive to the dimension of the space time. It was asking just D should be bigger or equal 4, right? Here it just asks D equal 13 for bosonic case and 6 for the fermionic case. So there is very tiny moment here is that these two last models are actually not equivalent to the previous one, the first one. The first one is much more complicated.
That was a light complication?
Not because of that. The reason was that at some moment I started to treat in this action so if in this model the metric and the X field you treat as a two separate variables, then you will come to this model which I discussed at last moment, I mean at the end of my talk, I mean second part of my talk, with this critical dimensionalities 13 and 6. But in original model they are not independent, and that model have tiny difference with these two last models.
Is that because you just set the metric to the induced metric?
Yes. So in the first part of my talk I always keep with lambda variables, I keep that the metric is induced, you see, but here actually I release this property, and if you variate over the G and you substitute it back, the model will be not equivalent to the original one, and this is a tiny difference between. So we have somehow the first model, the original model, is looks like much more complicated than these two last models, and. At the moment, I don't know. I will suppose that it's sort of very good point to start from. You know, they are somewhere close to each other, but how close or how they are connected? At the moment, I don't know exactly.
In standard thing, you do exactly this.
In standard thing, if you treat them both independently, but if you variate over the G and you substitute it back, you will got the same theory. They are equivalent, you know. But here they are not. If you take, if you take square root of G, GAB, DAX mu, DBX mu, D took C, if you treat X and G as independent variables, if you variate over the G, you will find that G is actually induced metric, and then you substitute it back, you will get number got action. So this means that your two theories are equivalent to each other. Now, in this case, it's not true.
Why do you say that the Nambu string is not, does not make sense as quantum mechanical theory? The only one that makes sense is this one. It's not that they're equivalent, it's that...
They're classical equivalent, quantum
mechanically, they are not. But yeah, so I will say the following. These theories, even at the classical, they are not equivalent. So, if you treat here G and X as independent variables, this model is not equivalent to the previous one where G was a function of X, you know, it was induced matrix. I don't know.
I'm sorry. You mean G a function of X or C?
G, no. this metric here, I mean, in the original metric, in the original model here, the G here in the Laplace, and this one is just so here, the functional depends only on X, where this matrix G is induced metric. That's what it is in the original model. So this is a model number one. Now we have the model two, where this field is considered as independent, which means that you will write the functional integral over G and X. And then you treat it. That's what I tell you. That's it's conformal invariant. You can solve it. You can ask it should be conformal invariant quantum level and so on. So you got all this result. But it is not even equivalent on the classical level to the original one, because if you variate over the metric and you substitute it back, you get some absolutely...
The second theory would not induce a tension term?
This one.
The one you solve, that one.
Presumably not introduce a tension term with it. Yeah, I will suppose yes.
Is because probably you have to do it in 13 dimension, and in that case the central charge or anomaly will exactly cancel, and so you won't have a term which will induce tension.
Yes, but the spectrum, as I did not tell you, is enough rich. It's very rich actually, but have some unusual properties. No, actually, no Tachyons. Sorry? I am asking myself also this question. This means that you have to you compute this model in the background, and I did not yet that done. It was not done yet, so you have to put the background metric, which is complicated to put into the under the root. You have to put the background metric, and then they compute the beta function to see what type of equations there are, or they are just trivial, or...
I think it's unavoidable you get the ground from because the beta function is expand, the natural term, anything...
It will be R, but they might be tiny things, who knows, maybe the coefficient behind is zero. And the reason why her question is, it have some hidden sense. The thing is that if it is the sixth, if it is the conformal theory in sixth dimension, there is no graviton in the theory. So the question you can understand the way that is this theory really has this graviton or not? I am not sure. It might be there, might be not. So with 50 by 50.
When you argue that the conformal element should be proportional to R, you argue on the ground that it should be up to second derivative. And that's the only. But here, the CR theory begins to be nonlinear and so on. I would think that there is more things.
But that derivative is spatial derivative, not in the Wilshire. And here, extra derivative is in Wilshire.
No, that's also what it is. The world should.
No.
The Wilshire conforming.
Yeah, this Wilshire conforming variance be expanding S, so the curvature tensor is coming from the.
That's true, but it's multiplied by some diagram, you compute, so who knows what it is. Might be zero, or I don't know. I did not yet done it. But this question appeared to me. I mean, I just have no. I mean, you have to do one after another. I mean.
Any more questions? Shall we thank Georgia?
Thanks.